Welcome to the City Point Church podcast. Thanks for joining us. Every day is an opportunity to take hold of. So we hope this message inspires you and builds your faith, that it helps you have more of a God perspective for your day. Enjoy.
What a great morning. Hey, like the worship, just everything. The first service went off. So there's a bit of expectation on you guys this morning. And they really lent into the word, and it was just so easy. It just came out like butter. It was just awesome. And so it's expectation. But if you've got a bit of faith this morning to receive from God, can you repeat out loud, "Today my heart is open. My ears are alert to grow and change in Jesus' name." Amen, amen. And while you're on your seat still, I'm just going to read to... Completely wrong, eh? Completely wrong. How does my brain work? I don't even know how it gets through the day. But either does Mel. I'm going to read today's scripture. All right. So it's from Philippians. Now, we're going to talk about prayer today. And this is going to be awesome. So God's really spoken to Mel and I for the direction of this church. And it's quite simple. Who would believe it? But it's that this will be a house of prayer. And so simple, just lines up with the word of God, but we will be people that are prayers. And this is what Philippians 4:6 says. It says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in every single thing, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." In everything, by prayer and supplication. How fantastic. So as you take your seat, why don't you tell someone that you are an amazing prayer? No, don't tell them you are amazing. Everyone's an amazing prayer. So we're going to talk about prayer today. And so my hope is to bring clarity to what a prayerful lifestyle actually is. And I want to help us to take back the reins of prayer. I want us as the church this morning to take back prayer, to take back prayer into our world. So I'm going to help us to understand what prayer looks like. I'm going to show us this morning how simple it is to be a person of prayer, how basic this actually is. And it's not anything to do with your education, praying the right way, or having the intellect or the right words or doing it the right way. It's the Holy Spirit that prays through us. So I'm going to teach us this morning how to tap into that, how simple it is to have a prayerful lifestyle. And here's the thing. As we take back the reins of prayer, something that I am sure of and confident about is that you are going to walk into power that you have never known in your life before. See, when we are prayers, we create filters in our life. And thoughts have to go through these filters of prayer. And this is why, is prayer keeps us in communion with God. Prayer is what keeps us having a heavenly mindset in our world. And as we form a prayer lifestyle, we form filters over our minds, over our heart, over our spirit man, that thoughts have to go through, that ambitions have to go through, that our actions have to line up with. And this happens through prayer. So it's an amazing, powerful thing. So we need to form a habit of prayer in our world. We have many other habits in our world. If you're a human being, you've got lots of habits going on. But why don't we turn those negative habits into habits of prayer? Why don't we, if you're struggling with addiction today, you believe this or not, it's been proven in psychology that everybody has addictions. So we don't fight to get rid of addictions. What we do is we line our lives up with the Word of God so our addictions look like spiritual things. In other words, addicted to prayer, addicted to the presence of God, addicted to the house of God, addicted to of surrender of our lives before God. So we don't try and get rid of addictions. We transfer our addictions so they line up. Man, I haven't even started. I'm getting pretty excited. So something that I've noticed growing up in the church is that prayer can sometimes seem to get complicated for us. And you might already be able to see from my preaching style this morning, but when I first started to pray as a youth in public, I was a yeller. I was that guy that yelled prayers. Like I remember my brother and I, Stephen, We were in the music team at Calvary in Townsville, Calvary Church, and the side room to the platform was really small, from like here to the front row, very small space. And we used to have the whole creative team in there, and all generations. And I remember when we would get on fire and we would start praying, both of us are yellers, like, and we would just start yelling. You could see the old people looking for earplugs or something, you know. The days of in-ears would have been good back then, but we were so fired up. We were yellers when we pray. And nothing wrong if you're a yeller here this morning. I still go there every now and then. And as I got older, I got a little confused in my prayer life because I didn't know if I should soak. If I should lay on the floor with my arms out and soak. And if you did do that, what way do you do that? Is it face down before the throne room of God, or is it unrespectful, not respectful, and face up? Has anyone been in a church like the young generation's got no idea what I'm talking about, but us middle-aged people, we know what I'm talking about. The soakers and the middle-aged, just keep it on the right spectrum there. Then there's silent prayer. Have you ever met a silent prayer? And so they come into the youth prayer meeting where we're all yelling and people are soaking, and they walk over people on the floor, then sit down on the chair. It's just nice, silent, calm prayer. And I tried this once and fell asleep. I ended up taking up 3 chairs in a row. But if you're a silent prayer, I'm not mocking you today. It's all good. It's all good. Then there's the systematic prayers. Do we know the systematic prayers? These ones are the great prayers. So if you're a systematic prayer, you're right there up on the top of the list. But systematic prayers, they know the word of God. You've seen these people. Father God, we come before you today because Exodus 1 verse 33 part A says, and they have all scriptures laid out in their minds. And systematic prayers also, they do what you remember Jesus taught us how to pray in the Bible. And so we come and they first thing they do is give God praise. God, I love you and I surrender my life. And then they go to God with needs. So God, I have these needs. And then there's petition. And then we finish with joy, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And then they finish giving God praise for everything in their world. So these are systematic styled prayers, and nothing wrong if you're a systematic prayer. And then I wasn't sure whether my prayer life was solid enough, because I didn't pray for an hour a day. And so I had to develop the hour prayer. Has anyone ever heard, you know, people pray for an hour every single day, which is great. But do you do it in the morning or do you do it in the evening? Because the old teaching was to pray first thing in the morning. Does anyone remember that? So a good Christian prays first thing in the morning, brings their life before God and sets their day up before God. Now, this was weird to me because I didn't know what happens at midnight. Do the first day's prayer become void at midnight and you have to pray again first? Well, I got really confused. I didn't know how to pray. And the other thing is I as I started to seek out how big preachers pray, because I always had it in my heart to be a preacher one day, and so I started to work out how the lifestyle of the biggest preachers in the world, the Billy Grahams, and, you know, and then I found out that they pray morning for an hour. Often lunchtime's about half an hour to an hour, and then evening for an hour. And I tried that, and I didn't get past day one. Has anyone failed at that one? And so what happens, right, is we complicate prayer. And because we fail at all these things, the enemy comes in and brings guilt into your prayer life. And then guess what happens? Well, I'm not the best prayer. I'm not the best Christian. I've got so much to work on in my... I don't know, but I think every Christian in the world... Every time we get past December, whatever the date is, into the new year, 31 or whatever. How many days in December? 31, yeah. You don't need to know you. Anyway. God will still use you, right? What happens when the new year comes? Because our New Year's resolution every year is, I want to be a better prayer this year. Or is this just me? Does anyone else have these New Year... Yeah. I know you're the same. So we make prayer and our prayer life as Christians complicated, way overcomplicated. So today, this scripture simplifies for us what prayer looks like for a Christian. I'm going to simplify this and you are going to become the best prayer ever. You know, when the Bible says that my house will be known as a house of prayer for all nations, the word all nations means the rest of the world knows that you're a Christian because you are a prayer. And so that's how the world, all nations look at the church. They look at you and I and they go, that is a Christian right there. How? How do they know? Because we are prayers. We take things to the Lord. We pray about things. We believe in God. We have faith. So we are called to be people of prayer, not momentary prayers. The Bible doesn't say make sure you have prayer moments in your life. The Bible doesn't say make sure you attend prayer meetings regularly. It says without ceasing to pray before the Lord with prayer and supplication. So in this scripture, I want to focus on three descriptive words, okay? Really simple. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication. Everything, prayer, supplication. So the first one is everything. So the Greek for everything is the word pas, which is P-A-S. It means this, every one thing. Every one thing. Doesn't mean this. Oh, everything in life I pray about. I pray for everything in my world, you know, as a holistic concept. The word is very specific and gets down to the nitty-gritty. Every one thing, every single moment, every single thought, every single action, every single decision, we pray because we are believers and we live our life according to the word of God. So therefore, we need the counsel of God in every decision we make in order to live according to the word of God. Does that make sense? It's simple, isn't it? And so every one thing. In other words, church, let's be prayers about everything. Every single thing, young people, every decision in your world, let's be prayers. Now this is what it looks like for a young person, okay? Is the older people know what I'm talking about as soon as I say this. When you're looking for a boyfriend and a girlfriend, we pray about who that person will be. But it doesn't mean we pray as in, God, we need them to have brown hair. And Father, I pray that they pray like the real Christians every morning for an hour. And Lord God, you know, I want somebody who's got lots of money. And Father, they need to dress and smell well as well. Now, boys, make sure you do put on because you need to smell well and honor the women. God, they need to be honoring, not just to me, but they need to love my dog. They need to love my cat because how could I possibly live without my cat? And it's really simple, you can, but trust me. Deliverance. So we pray about everything, but we don't dictate to God. We pray about everything. We'll get there. I'll explain that. You know, when I was young, have we ever known weird prayers? You know, I just call them weirdos, Christian weirdos. And, you know, we aren't called to be weird. In other words, when I was young, I had many people, and they used to come to our youth group, and they just destroyed it. And they came in, and they pray about everything. So they used to try and teach us to pray about cereal, what to wear for the day. If you had a normal conversation with these people, they always say, okay, let me pray about it. And then they go away and they come back with that real wise thing, you know, yes, I was seeking the Lord and I prayed about it. And it just becomes all weird. We aren't called to be weird. We are called to be people of prayer, not weirdos who pray. The last... Is it okay just to be honest in the church? I don't want to invite my friends to a weird church. I want to invite my friends to a church that's vibrant, full of life, and has vision in their world. People don't want to come to the weird church. They want to come to City Point North because we believe in people, amen? So I believe it's possible. I reckon it's absolutely possible to pray about everything and not be in the weirdo category. Amen? We say amen to that. When King David was facing troubles in his world, his prayer to God was this. In Psalms 141, he said, May my prayer be set before you like incense. So when David was struggling, some of the biggest things, the scholars aren't quite sure if this was Absalom, his son, when he was coming against him. But could you imagine that? When David was praying about the biggest things in his world, his prayer to God was, God, let it be like incense. So what does that mean? Well, in the tabernacle, incense was offered every morning and evening. So that throws out the morning prayer because you've got to do morning and evening. Every morning and evening before God, it represented the prayer of the Israelites, the prayer of the people. See, David desired that his prayer be as disciplined and regular as the offering of incense. Regular, consistent. Think about incense. I'm visual, so as soon as I read this and I got visual, but incense, the smoke continues to flow. It doesn't go and then one cloud goes up. It continues. It's a flow. It's a flow. It's a continual flow in our lives. It's a continual aroma going to heaven of who you are in surrender, in power, in authority, in conviction, in your prayer lifestyle. It's a continual smell that goes up to heaven. And when Father God smells your smell, he goes, that's a good smell and that's familiar to me, because that's a person full of the Holy Spirit who's praying right now. Which gives us the answer to a great question. How do we consistently pray? We don't. The Spirit of God does through us. And that throws your intellect out, throws theology out, all the lessons of life go out. And here's the great one, your worthiness goes out. Because it has nothing to do with how worthy you feel, whether you feel like you sinned and you've been a bad boy this week. It doesn't depend on that. It depends on the Spirit of God and you engaging the Spirit. The Bible calls it utterance. Do you want to hear what utterance sounds like? So this is. Can I do a demo this morning? Is that all right? Yes. All right. I'll try not to be the weird Christian, okay? But the Spirit of God praying through your life consistently sounds like shaka siara do baka siara do mo siara do mante. See, no one in this room knows the language. No one knows the language because it's the language of the Holy Spirit. This is, the Bible teaches us this. It's all in the Word. This is the Bible calls it an utterance. It's a language that only God understands. So as a man of God, as a man of prayer, when I walk around in my day, God's like, I'm gonna move in that. And I got no. Have you ever gone through things in your life, and you haven't even known how to bring it before God? Have you ever had that moment? You got turmoil in your life, and you're just like, man, how do I? You go to pray, and you honestly don't even know what to say. I got to be honest. I don't even know how to thank God. Like, how do you thank God? Like, how do you rejoice before God? I mean, being visual, like this morning when we're worshiping, I'm dancing like a ballerina in heaven. That's how I imagine myself. Because what do you do in the throne room of God? You know, the creator of all things, all power, all dominion. Like, he is the I am. He's outside of time. He created time just for us. Like, how do we come before God? Well, because when I do this, my spirit man starts to pray through my physical man to the God in heaven in a language that he understands. And listen, it's a language and it's a word that you need to pray even though you don't know what to pray. It's a direct connection that the enemy has no power over. He cannot interrupt this language. But when we speak with English, the enemy comes in and we know what I'm talking about. We get in a prayer room, we start to pray, Lord God, I need you in this and I need you in that. And oh man, I just really want a Coke right now. And I'm so hungry. I've been fasting all day. This is ridiculous. And our minds just go off track, right? But pray in the Spirit. and you are in line with the heavens, amen. It's the enemy has no power over your life when we operate through the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, today is the day, church. We take back the reins of prayer in our life. We take back the power of prayer. Oh man, I've got to move on because I ran out of time the last one. Point number two. The scripture says, be anxious for nothing but in everything. Every one thing by prayer and supplication. Prayer. The Greek prayer is prosyuhei, which means this, direct to God. It's different to supplications. Have you ever read this and wondered like what's going on here in prayer and supplications? Prayer is direct to God. So in everything, we are to be praying to God, not at God. Praying to God, not at God. At God means a place or a location. In other words, when we pray at God, we are telling him when and how to do the prayer, to answer the prayer. So don't think you don't do it. We all do it. I do it every day, right? Here's what it sounds like. Often, believe it or not, as Christians, we don't pray much. Okay, study shows this. So we don't pray much. Other churches, not City Point, we don't pray much as Christians. But when we do pray is when we have need in our world. So God, I come before you today and I bring this situation before you, Lord God, because you're an amazing God. And Father, I just pray that you would intervene. Father, we need healing in this area. And Father God, the appointment is tomorrow. But Father, I believe that you can heal before tomorrow. We are telling God, God, I need healing in my world. Oh, and can you do it tomorrow? We're giving him a time and a location. This is how we pray. But the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible says to pray, which means to God. So what does to God mean? Two is a moving towards him. Moving towards him. In other words, we don't pray, God, fix my need tomorrow at this time. But what we do, what this sounds like is, Father God, I come before you today and I'm moving towards you, my spirit, my flesh, my emotives. Father, everything, I bring them before you. Father, you can see the cancer operation happening tomorrow. But right now, I lay down this situation before you because you are the God that turns all things together for good. Your ways are greater and no man understands your ways. You have a greater purpose. You have a purpose for my life. You have a purpose for her life. But it will be fulfilled in your timing. In due season, we will come through and prosper. You are a God of blessing. So, Father, I bring myself in surrender to you and I pray that you would do what God would do. Father, you see, and we surrender to what you have ordained in heaven. Oh man, I'm going to teach on this year. The courtroom of heaven, the judge, God, the Father has already said that they will be healed. We don't need to pray for the time. We need to speak what's been done in heaven and we need to confess it down on earth. That's how we come to the Father. We don't pray at, we come to him in our prayer. And what does this look like on a daily basis? And then the more you pray like this is called speaking in tongues. And every Christian has the opportunity to have the gift. The Bible says it's a gift from the Holy Spirit for all of us. So if you can't pray in tongues, come down after the service, see me, and we'll anoint you, and you'll be praying in tongues today. But this is the thing. The more we pray in the tongues, you go through the flesh, Shabba, the motive of I'm going to pray in tongues right now. Shabba baba kusiradoma kusiradomante. And then as your spirit man starts to well up and catch on with you, this is why we consistently pray. So we are always living and moving in the spirit, which is how filters come into our life, because we're consistently walking in an attitude of prayer. Negative thoughts that don't line up with the word get filtered out. negative pictures that come into our mind that don't, they get filtered out. Because we are, our spirit man is constantly active and constantly alive. And the more you do the shaka siaradamante, siaradamante. Father God, we thank you. Father God, we thank you. Shaka siaradamante. Shababaka siaradamante. This is my normal day. Shabbat. Now I'm not doing it out loud. It's in my spirit. And then I go, hey, Bray, how's work for the dog going? Oh, yeah, Baba, we have a conversation. Hey, Mel, this afternoon, can we have a meeting? We just need to talk about blah, blah. Yeah, no problems. Straight back. My spirit man's just engaged in prayer. Shabba, blah, blah, blah. And then after time, you start to pray and your spirit man's alive. It knows the things of the spirit realm. Listen, listen. The flesh realm is subject to the spirit. Oh, man, you got to get this. The flesh is subject to the spirit. If we walk around trying to be smart all day and think about what needs to happen in life or in situations, all we have is the level of our intellect and wisdom. When you walk around in the spirit, right, things pop into your spirit that you don't even yet know about. Someone else's life. God wants you to pray right now for somebody else in your world. God wants you to intercede for something going on. God wants you to speak authority into the bank that they will release that money and that will flow into your world. And so your spirit man picks up and you'll just show. And then all of a sudden it goes like this. Shaka siaradama siaradamante aradamase. O shiaka siaradamante. O shiababa kusiaradamante. O siaradaba kusiaradamante. And this is called praying in the spirit with authority. This is called an interaction where you are bound with God. You are bound with God. So what does that look like? It's the word supplication. Supplication. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything pray with supplication. This is what supplication means. Desis, which means seek, beseech, bind ourselves. Bind ourselves. So what does supplication prayer look like? It's when we get deep with God. We put real time aside and worship. We thank God. We bless Him with quality time. It's organized prayer meetings. It's a prayer partner. It's spending longer periods of time in prayer seeking God. This is where the enemy has come in and robbed the church, right? We try to be good prayers, so we try to consistently have supplication in our lives. I don't know about you, but I'm not yet at the level of praying an hour in the morning, an hour for lunch, an hour in the evening, and still look after my family, still honor time with my kids, still do all the task of life, still do the ironing. Believe it or not, I do the ironing in our house. Yep, I did say that, yep. Do the ironing. You know, vacuuming the floor. Yep, I do that as well. I vacuum the floors. It's good, man. It's good for us. How do we do all these things if we're spending hour after hour after hour in application, in supplication? We're not meant to be. But the devil has robbed the church of its authority in prayer because we get guilty because we missed a prayer meeting. We get guilty because we aren't praying an hour every single time. We get guilty because we think of noodle, 2 minute noodles for dinner instead of praying about this situation right now, and our minds get sidetracked every time. We feel guilty because prayer was really boring today, like it often is. Maybe that's just because you're trying to do hour prayer meeting every single day just to start your day. That's called supplication. Prayer, shaka siaradamo siaradamante. We are people of prayer, amen? And we have moments of supplication. It's called corporate prayer meetings. It's called having a prayer partner. It's called sometimes the Spirit says, well, I want you to fast and I want you to pray because that's the only way that we can cast out demons. Remember that in the Bible? Through prayer and fasting, supplication and fasting, spending good long times with the Lord and having His counsel and His power empower your body so that when you speak with authority. Prayer is the most powerful tool accessible to us. Prayer is the most powerful tool you have in your life. And if you haven't been living a life of prayer, you've been missing out. Because you've got a tool that you haven't accessed yet. My house will be known as a house of prayer throughout all the nations. This is what I believe. When we are consistent, every moment, every one thing, praying about everything, prayers, we will be so filled with the Spirit, with the authority, with power. When we pray for sick people, they will be healed. When we speak something into being, it will come. How do we know this? Because the Bible says that even with a mustard seed of faith, you can move a mountain. Now, I'm not saying that or using that to say that you don't have faith, because if you're saved here today, we're saved through faith. So yeah, you've got a mustard seed of faith. But maybe there's a seed in the ground and you forgot to water it. Maybe one day you activated your faith and you gave your life to God. And then you've just continued with life. In the soil back there is a seed. So how do we water the seed? We pray, church. And we let that seed of faith grow into a tree. And that's where we move mountains. That's where the power to move mountains comes from. That's where the power to talk to your addiction and say, get away from me, get behind me, Satan, because I am going to move on. And that will actually happen at your word. That's where we pray for people. And at your word, it will happen. Here's the thing. The Bible doesn't say that your word will not return void. The Bible says that God's word will not return void. So when we pray, there's no use you praying. The Spirit needs to be praying through you, because it's His word that won't return void. And so when you have faith rise up and you speak to the sick, that word won't return void. Why? Because it wasn't your word. The Spirit of God told you to pray for that person, to speak into that situation, to declare that over the church. You know, that's why when I think about us having a new building, a new home, I don't get cowed under millions of dollars. I just go, God, you put that inside of me. Your word will not return void. We will have our own building. It's just going to happen. Figures don't matter. The situation, if it's cancer, degree 4, and you've got 2 days less, it just does not matter if God says. Amen. You believe that today? So just in ending, God's word teaches us that you can bring everything to Him. That's good news, isn't it? Really, our everything, we can bring that to God. He's interested. That's what I love. God's interested. You have the Holy Spirit to help your prayer be consistent and powerful. Prayer is moving towards Him, not at Him. And He desires close, intimate, binding times of prayer with you, of interaction with you. How good is that? I love that. You know, that God actually wants those times with me. What I love about that is it's not like, oh, I've got time today, I'm going to pray. God's longing all day long. He wants that intimate supplication with you. The Spirit of God isn't there on the back burner for when we decide to pray for a need or something. The Spirit of God is desiring to flow through us in prayer consistently with the Father in heaven. It's the Spirit of God, and He lives and dwells in us. So therefore, He wants to be in constant union with His Father. That sounds like a continual, non-stopping, non-ceasing prayer to me. He yearns for us to live as Christians full-time prayer. Do you reckon you can do that? Do you reckon we can make a decision as a church? You know what? I am going to be a house of prayer. I'm going to be a house of prayer. And start to develop this. I remember when I started, it was only about 10 years ago. And I heard a story from Pastor Phil Pringle at C3 Church, and it just stirred me. And I went, you know what? And I purposely had to make myself pray in tongues all day, every day, until it just become normal. Now I barely walk around, I barely sleep even without praying in tongues. As soon as I wake up in the middle of the night, I just pray in tongues because it's a habit. It's a habit form that keeps my life in line with God. How powerful is that? If you receive that today and if you want to take this onto your life, can you give God a shout of praise for His Spirit, His power, His authority? Just in closing, I just want to make an announcement this morning. Last year when Mel and I got asked to take on this location, God straight away dropped into our spirits the scripture in Isaiah that says, my house will be a house of prayer for all the nations. And so we just surrendered that to God. We lent in and moved towards Him and gave it to Him. And oh my God, I could just preach a whole message on that. Just because God gives you something, you don't just run and turn around and say, well, you said, you give it back. Anyway, well, so He put this desire in our heart. And just before Christmas, God spoke to me very clearly. And He said to me that He wants us as a church to become regular community prayers together. And so this looks like a community prayer meeting for City Point North. And so I just put it on the shelf and I just said, God, I give it back to You. But, you know, I want You to remind me of this after Christmas if it really is You. And after Christmas, it hit us really strong with it. We both feel great about it. So right now, I am announcing as of next Sunday, every single month, the second Sunday of the month from 5 to 6 p.m., we're going to do a church-wide prayer meeting here in the house. And this is what this looks like, okay? Just so you got a good grip. If you're a quiet prayer, silent prayer, it's all good. You can come and be silent in your prayer. If you're a soaker, the floor's here just for you, all right? If you're a yeller, go ahead, come and yell your life away. I want all styles. And more than that, if you're young, you're welcome to come. If you're old, this prayer meeting's for you. If you're middle age, okay, it's perfect for you as well. This is for all demographics. This is a church-wide prayer meeting. Now, I say all that because of this. I've been in church prayer meetings my whole life, and the youth comes and they're yellers, all right? And then the old people feel like they've got no place, and the soakers are on the floor and everyone's jumping over them and they feel like they're an inconvenience. We want the inconvenience and we want everyone making us feel like we should be yelling too. We want it because we are you are prayers. Amen. Do you believe that? You are a prayer. Now, one more thing with this is God's implanted a little something into me, which I'm really, really excited. I've never shared what I'm going to share over these meetings, these prayer meetings. So over the next sort of 10 months, I'm going to be teaching on prayer, but it's a message you most likely have never heard before, okay? So be excited about that. And we're going to talk about the courtroom of heaven, okay? And I'm going to teach the heavenly perspective, God's perspective when we pray, how He desires we would approach Him when we pray, the authority and the power you have when you pray. We're going to look at all this, but I'm going to do it like this. Every Sunday night prayer meeting we have is only 1 hour sharp, okay? You'll be out of here in an hour. So I'm going to preach this in just 10 and 15 minute blocks. So if you miss one Sunday, you're going to miss out. You won't get the whole picture of how to pray in the courtroom, okay? So you don't want to miss one Sunday's prayer meeting starting from next Sunday. But tonight we have the Sunday PM service, which is going to be fantastic as well. Awesome. You know, I'd love if we would all just close our eyes quickly. Perhaps you've been listening today and you just feel God calling you and you've never given your heart to God. You've got no idea what prayer like this would look like, but it's so good and powerful and you want it. You want to be part of this. And let me tell you, God loves you. He created you and He ordained from the beginning a purpose for your life. You don't have to be blown around in the wind anymore. There is a purpose for your life. And so if you want to give your heart to God today and acknowledge that Jesus died for you, that God loves you and He wants to receive you, in this one moment, every sin and wrong thing you've ever done is wiped. Can you believe that? Is wiped from you. And the Spirit of God then comes in and He strengthens you to live out the Christian walk. It's a journey. It's not perfect just by giving you up, but He gives you the strength to face every day. So if that's you right now, you'd like to give your heart to God, every eye is closed. Can you just boldly lift your hand? I see your hand back there. So is there anyone else here this morning? Just boldly lift your hand right now. If you're a young person, you want to give your heart to God, don't worry about the embarrassment of mum and dad. Just lift your hand. I see your hand down here. Anyone else here this morning? Best decision of your life. I see your hand over there, sir. And just one more call. If that's you this morning, just lift your hand. I'm just going to pray. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. This is what I'm going to do. I'm just going to pray. I just love you to own this like your first prayer. Father God, I just want to, first of all, I just want to say thank you. Thank you that you sent your Son for me. Thank you that you still love me in spite of everything. You accept me the way I am, and you're going to strengthen me to become the best me ever. In response to all of that, right now I give you my heart and I say that I am yours forever. I will not waver in my faith in you. I will not waver in this decision today, and I will not doubt that you love me. Even though I might fail, even though I might stumble, I know because you love me today that you would love me no matter what. So I give you my heart and I declare that I am a believer. I'm a Christian, I'm faith-filled, all those meanings and terms doesn't matter. At the end of the day, I'm a son and I'm a daughter of God. In Jesus' mighty name, we all said, amen. Can we put our hands together for those people?